Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Thompson with New Cyber Frontier Podcast. Coming to you from the SecureSec campus here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Beautiful Colorado Springs. I have the distinct privilege today of hosting a good friend and colleague, and also an eminent scholar. We know him by many names, but today we have in the studio Dr. Eric Huffman. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a delight, of course. And so lots been going on for you lately. You've been speaking at conferences and going around the world, and we have the privilege of having you now here at SecureSec as our lead technical instructor and helping us formulate and shape kind of the next generation of cyber warriors. So tell us a little bit about Dr. Huffman's journey. How did you get to this point, and what are you up to?
Well, I always loved computers, so I've been building computers since I was a kid. My dad was, he's retired Army, and he would always work with computers, and I remember having the old Commodore 64 with the turbo button on it. And so through junior high, I built my first computer, so I love technology ever since then. So I got my undergraduate degree in computer science. Then I started working for Walgreens, just going store to store, fixing networks, fixing broken equipment, making sure communications were always up through the stores, making sure the satellite was working as a backup system.
Sure.
And then I went and got my master's degree. My master's is a science of management, concentrating in IT management.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was fortunate enough, the timing was just perfect. I graduated with my master's degree, and then Walgreens was opening project management, their project management office. So I applied, applied and randomly went there. And so I randomly went up to Chicago and was fortunate enough to help stand that up and help facilitate some IT management for Walgreens for years. Then I got a random call, a LinkedIn message, asked if I would teach nights. I was like, yeah, I'll start teaching nights, and fell in love with education just wholeheartedly. Then after, I just had to continue on and with my doctorate degree and complete my doctorate in management, and just loving it ever since. And since then, I became a dean of that college. Then moved to another college as an academic dean there as well. Then had the pleasure of meeting my brother Abe Thompson, which brings me to SecureSec. And also in the mix, I started my own company, Handshake Leadership. We focus on organizational development, leadership development, and cyber education consulting. We help teach K-12 secondary teachers how to teach cybersecurity, and we help certify them as well.
So critical.
Yeah, helping them. So. We help make sure that the children have what they need in the classroom. There's a lot of programs for children out there. The NCC is doing fantastic work. SecureSec's doing fantastic work, just helping engage the youth in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot for the teachers.
Yeah.
And so we're here to help the teachers out, to make sure that they don't feel their students know more than they do, because some teachers feel like, yeah, I they barely know anything, and the children are just running circles around them in regards to cybersecurity, in regards to technology in general. But we're here to help that. We want to solve that problem locally.
Well, I have a middle schooler that thinks she knows more than I do, so maybe it's a common thing.
Well, yeah, that's it's a fascinating world out there. You know, children are learning a lot. You know, we're in a midst where they're technology natives. And I think we're going to make that transition from children being technology natives to cyber natives.
Yeah.
To where they're going to grow up and they understand that things are permanent now. It's unfortunate. I'm glad when I grew up, like Facebook and MySpace and all that stuff wasn't a huge thing.
Sure.
However, these children, now you make a mistake and it just blows up, and that kind of sticks with you forever.
Yeah.
Once you can't delete everything.
It used to just be that old lady down the street that said, "Oh, I know what Abraham's doing." You know, so she's getting in trouble. Let's break away for just a moment.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Cyber Frontier Podcast. This is Abe Thompson from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs. I have as my guest my friend and brother, Dr. Eric Huffman, and we were just kind of reminiscing about his story and how he's gotten here. Now, Eric, you have a compelling and fascinating topic that has drawn a lot of attention, really, around the globe, I would assume, at least around the country, and that relates to the psychology of cybersecurity.
Yes, sir, it's cyber psychology. It's unique and it's in its infancy. The entire subject is in its infancy. There's not a lot of people doing research about it, but it's how the human mind, how the brain works in a cyber environment, because what we're dealing with here is an iPhone or an Android or a laptop or a server. It's not a tree or a desert, you know, something. We're not built for this.
Yeah.
And so in regards to like phishing attacks have been the number one attacks for about 12 years now.
Right.
Probably closer to 15 years now.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, right? And what that means is we're being fooled. So we have to deductively reason our way through these attacks. And so the problem with that reasoning is you read in your own voice. Or you read in someone else's voice. Like if you see a picture of Morgan Freeman, you're gonna read in Morgan Freeman's voice.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, because we all know, we all love Morgan Freeman, and we recognize that voice. So you read in that voice. You don't read in the dark, creepy person eating Cheetos in his basement, drinking Mountain Dew. You don't read in that voice. That's just not how this works. So as now that you're reading in that voice, it just makes it easier to fool you, because if I walk up to you in the street and just say, "Hey, can you give me your bank account information?" Everyone is going to say no. But if you can write a well-articulated email and you can make a compelling statement, get some social validity to it, you may be able to fool some of these people. And so we see the bad actors playing a huge role. They're using that to their advantage, the knowing that they can get you to trust them. You know, just like how people get, unfortunately, they get catfished. They fall in love with a persona online.
Yeah.
It's the similar things that happen within cybersecurity in regards to these attacks that happen, because we haven't quite made a move to learn to operate within this environment securely at
sure.
all.
And we're not cautious enough. And to a certain extent, there's a bit of innocence left in this realm.
Yes.
That we're easily taken, or naivete, probably a better word.
Yeah. There's a notion that we know the internet's not safe.
Yeah.
However, we put so much of ourselves out there to be seen that people could pick and choose what to learn and what to use against you.
Yeah.
For example, if you're looking at different organizations, if an organization is going through a transition or going through a layoff, that news is broadcasted out to the world.
Yeah.
And so bad actors can spoof an email very easily and start writing towards a particular target and try to fool that individual. So a notion that happens is you think that the cyber gurus within the organization are going to help you out. Well, the bad guys are thinking this very well, that they're not going to try to target and try to attack the network in regards to let's bat wits with the brightest cyber mind in the organization.
Yeah.
They're going to pick the weakest link. And the fact that they know they're going to pick the weakest link, and that's the easiest way to get that information, because cracking a firewall, IDS, IPSS, that stuff's difficult. Mm. Fooling someone is way easier.
Soft target.
Yeah, it's definitely a much softer target for those individuals out there. It's in this notion of the psychology of cybersecurity, this notion of the psychology of someone that's doing some social engineering is fascinating, and it needs to be explored a lot more so we can have more self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You can recognize that, yes, we have our firewall, we have our IDS, we have our IPS, however, we need to focus on the training, and we need to focus on self-understanding, understanding yourself within the cyber environment. I like to use the analogy of someone's mother. My mom, she's not a cyber person, not at all. She's definitely not. And it's unfortunate, but you have to think about the truth behind it. Mm. In that, in order to hack me, you might want to target my mother.
Yeah.
And then once you get to my mother, you can send a message from acting like it's from my mother to me, and I'm gonna react totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that reaction is because I'm not reading in my voice. I'm reading in her voice, and I'm seeing what she needs and. That emotion gets involved in that, and that causes a different type of reaction from someone.
Yeah.
In regards to email, it's been proven that you're easier to hack in an informal setting. And if email is now, it's become so common, email is now seen as an informal setting. You know, you can joke, you can send whatever you want in an email. Now that is an informal setting, you're reading an email or you're reading a message, and you're more open. You're more open. There's a big five model for cyber victims. Individuals that are extroverts, because if you're extroverted, if you're more willing to talk to people, if you're more willing to engage in a conversation with someone you don't know, you can definitely become a cyber victim. You know, you can hack that. Someone that is emotionally stable, not to say if you're emotionally stable you're going to be a cyber victim, I'm not saying that at all. However, if you've dealt with someone that's emotionally unstable, they're way harder to deal with. And so if you're in a good mood, if you're an extrovert, you're in a good mood and you're emotionally stable at that time because you're happy, you will listen to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that you will listen to me, now I just have to say the right things. I just have to put this email together. The days of the Nigerian prince are kind of gone. It's a good to joke about, but they're kind of gone. But now it's the days of your Amazon invoice or of an email from your CEO. Like, hey, here's your CEO. Your CEO sending you this. I need you to send $10,000 to this partner for this project.
Complexity has arrived.
Definitely. Yeah. And they put deadlines on it too, to say, we need this done by close of business. I'm gonna be out of the office. Send this right now. And so you're reading in the CEO, like, oh, the CEO needs this done. I need to act. And people are getting fooled. According to the Verizon Data Breach Investigation Report last year, 94% of all attacks came from phishing. 94%. Then I think it was like 5 or 6% came from web applications. 1% was everything else. That is literally everything else. Everything you see on Fox News, CNN, NBC. Some of that, that's just the 1%. The everyday attack is what the psychology is all about. Understanding. They estimate by 2020 or 2021 that cybercrime is going to cost $7 trillion annually. And that's not coming from the 1%. That's coming from the everyday attack.
And nowhere near that amount is being spent to combat it.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So it gets kind of scary as we listen to this. You know, we Americans, we love our freedom. We love our, you know, our sort of outgoing nature for all intents and purposes. What's the balance? How do we still continue to live and not live in fear and yet still be cautious?
Well, so that's an interesting question because you can't operate in fear. But I do say there's a healthy dose of fear is good. It starts with that level of understanding and being, as a cyber community, to be introspective for a second.
Sure.
Because let's just look at what's going on. If you look at the speed of innovation, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We have more cyber protections. We have IDS systems that are hardware now, IPS systems that are hardware now, firewalls that they're no longer just software, they're hardware now. We have all these crazy, amazing defenses, but if you look at the rate of attacks, that has increased almost identically to the speed of innovation. Just because we innovate doesn't mean the bad guys don't innovate as well. The bad guys innovate just as much as we do.
Let's talk about those bad guys in just a minute. Let's take a...
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Frontier, this is Abe Thompson from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs, podcasting with my good friend and brother, Dr. Eric Huffman. So we're talking about how the speed of innovation, you know, unfortunately the bad actors have kept pace with that. And you were kind of talking about those bad guys and what they're up to in this regard. Unpack that for us.
Yeah, so as we've innovated, they have innovated.
Yeah.
They have innovated. Mm-hmm. The bad guys have innovated as well. And this introspection needs to happen between within the cyber community. Let's think about what are we doing and why hasn't it been quite as effective as we've hoped? And that boils down to the psychology or the mind, the brain, that are in this environment. Most hackers, when there's a study that was conducted at DEF CON 2 years ago that I did, most hackers, about 73% of those hackers stated that your firewall is obsolete or irrelevant. They're not even looking at it. They're not even trying to attack it. What they're trying to attack, they're trying to attack people. Four or five of those hackers that I interviewed, they stated that all those attacks, they start with people. If they can get you to reveal your username and password, that's what they would prefer to do. They would not prefer to bat wits with the cyber engineers or try to, you know, crack a port and sneak in messages. That's, that stuff is crazy difficult. It's difficult even for the best minds to do. So they start with people, then they move to the technology. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to patch people with technology. Mm-hmm. This human patching has been ineffective. So yeah. When attacks happen, we as people, we diffuse responsibility. So there's a phishing attack that would happen and your organization gets ransomware.
Yeah.
The organization gets ransomware. The person may say, why didn't the spam filter catch this? It's the spam filter's fault. It should have went to spam. It should have been blocked. This should not have happened. There should have been some type of technology to help us out. This, you should not patch the human too much. We've tried that, and we've been effective in some regards. But however, at this current point, what I'm saying mm-hmm. is that this needs to change. We need to start looking within. Let's look within, and let's mm-hmm. understand self within the cyber environment, and let's operate accordingly. Let's operate appropriately within the cyber environment where we now have all these social media outlets. We now have more information about ourselves. We're creating more information than we ever have before. And it's hard to understand what's real and what's fake now.
Sure.
And that even comes into play when you're at work. You don't understand what's real and what's fake. Mm. And the communication within our community now, we have five or six generations working together all at once now.
Wow.
And we all communicate very differently.
Yeah.
And a lot of that communication is going through technology now. I worked in a school, and I would always joke, people would have offices literally next door to each other, and they would call one another instead of just having a face-to-face conversation.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah, and so with this, now that we're in this environment and we understand that the communications are very different, in that we're communicating digitally, pretty much now almost across all silos.
Yeah.
This has led to us no longer understanding. We don't even know how to understand one another.
Yeah.
And so you don't understand what's real and what's fake, and you're not reading in the appropriate voice. You're reading in your own voice. You can't really change that. I don't say read every voice in some super dark, sweaty guy in his basement.
Excellent.
Definitely not recommending that. But however, just that a healthy dose of fear and understanding of the situation that I'm in, understanding the environment that you're in and what's really at stake. Mm-hmm. When you're sending emails or when you're talking to someone, because the bad guys are good.
Yeah.
On the dark web, you can buy a botnet, you can buy a Trojan, you can buy ransomware and deploy it. You no longer have to develop the botnet.
Yeah, sure.
You no longer have to develop that. You can simply buy it.
So lazy crooks.
Yeah, right, great. Definitely. So it's making hacking easy. Mm-hmm. A well-articulated email. I tell some of the students in class that all you need to do to really be an effective hacker, pay attention in English class and learn to fool people. Understand how to fool people. If you do that, you can do a whole lot more damage than someone that's trying to bat wits, you know, with our brethren in NORAD. You know, you'll fail 10,000 times before you even get lucky once.
So all you CIA officers out there looking for a second career.
Definitely. Certainly. We can definitely use some help on the good side in regards to psychology. Just mm-hmm. just try to understand and convey this to someone else and convey the message of this is how you think.
Yeah.
This is why this is the way it is. This is why you are being fooled.
Sure.
And if we can convey that outwards to everyone, we can be a whole lot more effective. The 1% is going to be there. The amazing hackers are going to be there. But however, the everyday criminals, they're having far too much success using the same. I'm a football fan. When every time I see phishing being number one, I'm like, dude, they're running the same play and they're scoring every single time.
Yeah.
They got one move, and they're sacking the quarterback every single time. Let's do something about this move.
Up the middle, punt.
That's exactly what we're doing. And so I conducted my research. I wrote my dissertation on cyber psychology. Mm-hmm. There's a few great individuals out there that are researching cyber psychology and tying the two together, putting the human element and the technology together, because it's not separate. Every cyber person I spoke to at every conference I've gone to, we all say the same thing, like, hey, everything works fine until someone touches it, until the user.
The human element, right? The eighth layer of the OSI model.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly what this is, and this is what we're attempting to address.
Yeah.
We're attempting to give notice to, hey, this is the human brain. This is how it's functioning.
Sure.
The limbic system in your brain, it's fight or flight.
Yep.
It has you don't speak with your limbic system. It's just feeling, that gut feeling you have.
Yep.
It's actually the limbic part of your brain. That doesn't work in a cyber environment. And so you don't look and say, oh my God, it's spam and duck. No, that doesn't happen. And so what does happen is just that kind of turns off unless you're watching a video.
Right.
If you're watching a video, that's why you get scared, and you, like watching a horror movie,
right,
you get scared and you kind of duck and you move.
Sure.
It's the limbic part of your brain is like, danger, move, danger, move. What keeps us alive biologically every day doesn't work within the cyber environment.
Sure, sure.
Now that they've taken that away from you, it's all, hey, deductively reasoning. And you're reading and you're just trying to understand, did this come from Abe Thompson or not? Or
right.
Like, did this come from Eric Huffman or not? Like, and people, they're just not understanding that. Our everyday users.
Sure, sure.
It's just not really understanding that and understanding what's at stake. Because let's go ahead, put the whole picture in. Let's put the whole environment in perspective.
Sure.
So you send a Nigerian prince your bank account information. Shame on you. If you have Wells Fargo, Chase, or something like that, they drain your account. However, a fraud alert alerts. They say, hey, you know what? We're going to give you your money back for now as we conduct this investigation. We're going to put a stop to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the risk and what's the reward? The risk is, hey, all of your money gets stolen away, but your bank most likely has your back. You know, the fraud alert.
Yeah.
Not everyone. A lot of people have been victims of that, and most likely the bank has your back. The reward, $1 billion from your Nigerian prince friend now.
Yeah.
And so this risk and reward, it's not in fair balance. We don't truly understand the severity of what's going on. The severity of $7 trillion annually.
Wow.
I don't know how we as a society can deal with that.
Not too long ago, this idea of sort of your emotional intelligence or your emotional IQ was introduced, and it's almost as if you could be advocating for a cyber emotional IQ.
Yes,
you
know? Sir.
And so it sounds like there's a challenge to be solved. I mean, what ideas do you have to allow people to assess their cyber awareness, and you know, where do they go to get that expertise?
Yeah, the cyber emotional intelligence is certainly being researched right now.
Yeah,
a lot of as I stated before, a lot of this is in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to find out a lot about cybersecurity and psychology and put it together. So a challenge I have to everyone that I speak with in regards to cyber psychology is do some research, do some introspection, do some self-awareness, and have that healthy dose of fear. And how you assess yourself is how do you, understanding what are you putting online, what information is put online, and being able to deduce and find good information, become a great researcher.
Sure.
It doesn't take a doctorate degree to be a great researcher.
Yeah.
But if you are a great researcher, you're a whole lot better off than some of those that do not. Be willing to have a face-to-face conversation with someone.
Sure.
A lot of those things, once you break those technology barriers, puts us more into our comfort zone of what works well for humans. What works well is that face-to-face interaction, that conversation. What doesn't work well is reading on a computer and reacting quickly.
Sure.
We're in a speed, the speed of innovation. Actually, the only thing faster than the speed of innovation is the speed of business.
Yeah.
Business has to operate very quickly.
Sure.
And you're making decisions very quickly. And we're making poor decisions very quickly. Honestly, it just boils down to, at this point in time, in regards to cyber psychology, is just understanding self.
Yeah.
And being willing to slow down for a second and understand that you are the target.
Sure.
Not your firewall's not the target. You are the target. Your IDS, IPS system's not the target. You are. your bank account is not the target. You're the target. The goal is to get your bank account information. And once you get a great understanding of that, you can operate a whole lot better. It's not all is lost. Right now, where it's just
gloom and doom, maybe.
Yeah, right now, you know, the clouds are looking a little gray.
Sure.
Because we have to turn this tide around, you know, with the rate of attacks and the rate of successful attacks.
Well, and some would say, you know, and certainly we can agree with this to a certain extent, a technology-absorbed society often does lose some of the fundamental deductive reasoning skills and some of the things that make us human.
Yeah.
And so that's being exploited here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are certainly, we're losing that. Mm. And it's unfortunate. And the more we rely on technology for communication, we're increasing our attack surface.
Yeah.
The more Facebook friends you have, increases your attack surface.
True.
The more LinkedIn connections you have, increases your attack surface. And we're becoming very well connected to say, hey, how do I get in contact with Abe Thompson? Well, let's look at New Cyber Frontier and let's see who's all connected to him.
Yeah.
And then if one of those people are vulnerable, you're becoming a little more vulnerable as well. And so you receive a message from a friend or from a colleague or from a coworker, from a partner. And next thing you know, you're reading like, okay, yeah, we're working on this new project, so we need this.
Sure.
Sounds great. You know, the attackers are smart and they're making it easy to attack.
Sure.
In regards to spoofing, in regards to phishing, in regards to sending ransomware, sending Trojans.
Sure.
There's been studies, there's been a study done at a local high school and a local college here where they just drop thumb drives. And how many people pick them up and just put them in because they're curious?
Yeah.
And at a place of business, and I unfortunately won't reveal the company's name, we dropped some thumb drives. Not a lot of people picked them up, but however, if you write, you know, layoffs on the thumb drive and you drop it, everyone's gonna pick it up. They're gonna put it in their computer. Because it's just that, like, it's just almost not fair.
Sneaky.
Because you're like, man, I really want to see layoffs. Who's laying off? Then you plug it in, or for students, if I drop thumb drives and I put test answers, you know, they're gonna be interested to see what's on the thumb drive, and little do they know you're the target.
Sure.
Let's not put so much credence and so much hope onto the outcome is the financial information or the government secrets or things like that. That's the outcome. Who's the target? User, you are the target, and they're going to exploit your weakness.
Sure.
And the weakness you have is how you're thinking through this, and if they can outthink you just for that once, all they have to do is score one time
just
and they
once.
Win.
Well, Dr. Huffman, you are prophetic in your observations here, and it surprises me that it's still in its nascence, but you have definitely sounded the alarm. You have gotten people's attention, I think, on this topic, and we certainly need to be there. I mean, you know, self-awareness, all those other pieces that, you know, people may not have considered, you know, in the cyberspace, but definitely important. So we are just delighted to have had you here on the show, and
thank you
so much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the New Cyber Frontier, coming to you from the SecureSet studios here in Colorado Springs. My name is Abe Thompson. Thank you.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.